Hello fellow Lusties and Printing Press listeners, this is podcast number 13. Welcome back Lust, oh how we have missed you. I get so emotional. Today's episode we'll talk next month's book. Also what books should be on the island we have yet to see. So, without any further ado, reading between the lines so you don't have to, Brian and Karen, and the Printing Press Lust Book Club.
Okay, we are podcast number 13, and sorry to tell you people, yes, our record player is broken, and it breaks my heart, but no music today. It's just going to be Karen and I going at it, because I think we realized this is going to be an awesome podcast.
And it's a new year, baby!
Yeah, new year, something new, something different, and I think this is going to be an awesome one, because yeah, there is no music. We are not recapping this week, and it is something that I'd like to start doing, because we launched something that I think is so exciting, and we're going to announce it today. And things that we left off in the last one, things that we need to talk about is, yes, the printing press is very famous for books that we're recapping on the island. What about books that have not been on the island that need to be recapping? Karen and I will definitely be doing that one. You have your list?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too. I'm real excited about that. And also, we kind of, I can't believe this. This is a shocker. Vanessa actually got me the coolest gift ever, and that was for the holidays. We left off on the holidays, and I got the Kubricks. I got the Kubricks. I didn't get Stanley Kubricks, but I got.
Who was your mystery Kubrick? Which one?
I actually did get one of them, and I got Desmond. I did not get Ben, so I will go out there and I will do everything. I want to buy as many Bens as I can. I want to buy another freaking box of these things because they are so awesome. It was like Christmas. All afternoon long, I was pulling the glue so I didn't break the box. I didn't like a 10-year-old, like, I think even when I got my first ColecoVision as a kid, my sister could probably back me up on this. I don't think we ripped the box open because I still have the box of my ColecoVision and it is
ColecoVision. Do you hear what you're saying?
I know.
ColecoVision, holy cow.
Well, we know nothing of these Apples and what are they talking about? The Xboxes in 420s? I don't know what an Xbox 420 is. You know, we're down in this hatch, people. We still only play what we know is, they call it something called 8-bit. We're only playing 2-bit, people. So whatever you're playing with your gizmos and, you know, PlayStations, we're play hatching stations. What do you know?
ColecoVision.
I love ColecoVision. I love it. I love it. In television. And then, you know, yes, Atari came first, but I think Coleco is, if you're really going to go obscure and really poke one out there, it is definitely Coleco. But I got the Kubricks, and I got a shitload of Jacks and some Kates and a few Sawyers. I got two Sawyers in a row, and I was like, oh boy, this isn't good. Like, my first one was Sawyer, second one was Sawyer. I'm like, where the fuck is Charlie? But I got the Charlies, I got the Hurley, so I got two sets. So I'm going to make little sets for Wednesday. Karen, what's Wednesday? Yeah. What is Wednesday?
Something about some show. I don't know. Something about some show.
Now, these Lost? People, yeah, there's something going on up above, and these people are talking about a show called Lost. Hey, you know, we have these actors running around, and a guy named Bobby Roth has got a camera behind, and he's doing something up there. But, yeah, a freaking season premiere of Lost. I can't believe we didn't even start with that. But, oh my god, we're finally going back after all these damn months of people,
oh
my 9
god,
months
like
of
8 could, months. It is crazy.
We have a child.
That's, oh my god, I can't even stand it. I'm just so damn excited.
Yeah. So, in the next few days, people, like, what, in 24 hours, we're going to have a new season premiere.
I can watch it from a hotel room this time.
I know. So, have fun in Vegas and enjoy. Enjoy. I mean, I'm telling you, my mom's house is open. You can go.
Of course, you know.
But, so yeah, so the gifts, I got that. What did you get? What loss did you get for
I will tell you what I didn't get. I did not get a goddamn Dumbo jumpsuit.
I know!
Oh my god, I'm so mad!
I'm totally giving in because MegaCon is coming up. And I mentioned it to, like, there are conventions coming up that we're going to be going to. And I gotta wear it. I've never dressed up at a convention, so don't judge me, people. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to totally do it.
they wear their Java jumpsuits.
I'm not going to Sailor Moon it. I'm not going to dress up like anything from Twilight. You know, come on. I'm gonna go in my Dharma jumpsuit. I wear my Dharma shirt. I'll have my swan hatch. I'll have my flame hatch on. I got something with a number on it or two. Six. Yeah. But, you know, I'm wearing my jumpsuit. So,
it.
I love it. So, wait a minute. Did I say something? We launched something? What did we launch? What was this that we launched? What am I talking about?
Well, you have to talk about the addition to what we're doing here.
I think it's such a massive addition. And I think this episode... Totally. When we came up with the idea of a website, everybody. Meanwhile, right now, hopefully everybody is reading their Invention of Morale book.
Yes.
But we are. And it's, if you started off, people, the first three pages, you're not going to put it down. So if you haven't started yet, go to a website our wonderful Karen has made. And I love it. I love it. At the same time, Karen has launched two sites. You have launched your own.
Yeah, those two go at the same time.
Yeah. So you have your own. You have your own, and please plug that. Please plug your website.
Oh, all right. Well, my own, what I've done is I transferred all of my episode clues blogs, but now they do incorporate the alternate reality games and things like that. And you can find all of my insane, crazy notes at karenslostnotebook.blogspot.com. You can check it out there. But while I was doing that, of course, the partner and the offshoot of what this is about, people get to go check out everything about the printing press with B. Quain and Karen at thelostbookclub.blogspot.com.
I love it. It is so professionally done. It looks so good. Yeah, thelostbookclub.blogspot.com. Look at it. I mean,
it's coming together.
No, it's definitely coming to I'm looking at it right now, and I love... You have this month's selection on there. That's so good. The content is fantastic. I'm looking at it now.
And we'll grow the content because we're going to keep a lot of detail
as
we're doing evolves.
Yeah, this is the launch. There's a way to get in touch with us. Don't forget, you could email us. You could MySpace us. You could Facebook us. You could do what you need to do. We're even on Twitter.
We're still on Twitter. Yeah.
But yeah, we're always on Twitter. Please, I mean, look at this site. It looks really... damn good, and I'm very happy.
Right to the podcast. It's always right there.
Yeah, so now if you need to find the podcast, if you want to go on Podomatic, if you're not on iTunes, which, how are you not? But all the podcasts will be on there, and what we're going to focus on today will be on there. Little things like this is that we will keep writing what we're doing. We might even link to our blogs that we do, my recapping, your studies, your research.
Yep.
We're going to bring stuff on there. Like, today's episode is about books that are not on the island that should be, and we're going to remind you that there's albums that are on the island that are not on the island that should be. We've talked about Dark Side of the Moon. Where is that podcast? Maybe it doesn't need to be a podcast. Maybe it just needs to be us pouring our fingertips out onto the keyboard and letting you know what we're doing. We are also looking for insight and even have guest writers on there. Even we are going to start moving this into a whole new phenomenon. I think the printing press did really well, and we thank you a lot for how well this podcast did. I don't know, people still read and thank
you.
And I'm
sure we're going to get introduced to new books in the
season.
We're going to get hints to some new literature and things like that.
You'll be the first to know.
Exactly. Those.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, when we see a book, boom, the next day, I would love to have it. It's going to be up there with some insight on it. So,
you know, with all the layers of the story and you know, we have many layers as well. So we're just keeping the theme going.
Definitely. And don't forget, our next podcast will be January 27th, where we do recap the whole short, beautiful 100 pages of The Invention of Morale. This book, I know why Sawyer was reading it. And I love this book. I freaking love this book. From the first paragraph, I got chills. I was like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. Like, every page. I was like, what? This is, it is a little way too smart. And I can't believe they waited till season 4 to do this. So if you don't remember in Eggtown, that's when it was. Sawyer was reading it. I think it was right pre-sexy time, Kate, but we don't know. I don't remember.
It was.
She's coming in, you know, she's bitching about Hurley's bathroom habits or whatever. Slaughterhouse 5 is February. I think we're all very familiar with Kurt Vonnegut, and I hope we are. One of our many generations, I hate to say it, many generations, fantastic literary kings. He is amazing, Kurt Vonnegut, who had passed away in April 2007. I would like to do this book to pay homage to the man. And Lost did, and I think Lost needed to, and I'm glad they did with Slaughterhouse-Five. We heard in season 4, meet Kevin Johnson. And we also, with Desmond, it does deal with a few things, and we don't want to end the war of what is time travel, or is it time travel, but we want to go more into it. It's an anti-war book. I think we knew Desmond kind of had that, even in the army. Did he really need to be there? The word honor was spelled wrong, and that's a word we really need to remember is, you know, Desmond's honor, and he's very devoted to something. Look at him pushing the button for how long, you know, 3 years that he did. So, I think Slaughterhouse-Five is a must, and I hope if Desmond, we don't know. This is something I would like to talk to more people about, but is Desmond...
Yeah, this is one I've not read in...
Right.
I usually pretty much keep to a lot of the classics, and then, of course, the newer things from, you know, the past, you know, could be 20 years, 25 years even, and this one had slipped through my fingers,
yeah.
So I'm glad I'm having a chance
get ready, because, yeah, it is such a good book, and let's not forget, where's Desmond going to play in season 5? So, will we forget him? Hopefully not, and I know he'll be there. He has to be, right?
Yeah, I think he's still a
he's
part
gotta
of the
be.
Game.
Well, this one... I don't know how much we do, you know, whose book it is per month, but I'll tell you, this one definitely thumbs up to you, Desmond. We love you. So books, we know Slaughterhouse-Five was on and off the island. Books that remind you of the island that we have yet to see in any season.
Well, I have a couple that if I could put books as hints to things or things of that nature. I do have a couple that I would add.
I think we need to mention some, definitely. Go ahead, first one for you.
Oh, come on, let's just tackle the obvious, the Dark Tower series. It's Stephen King. You know, you have it's a really, really long series of books. It's a fascinating story. I'm not even going to go into it, but the Dark Tower.
I'm reading it.
It'd be on somebody's bookshelf, you know.
Always, yeah. As I'm reading it, I love the whole gunslinger idea, the solitude of this guy. I think he's a powerful character, very powerful character. And, there's so much with that man. There's so much with that man, Stephen King.
The Stand, I think we may have talked about last time. Did we touch on that? The Stand, The Stand, you know, good versus evil, chosen people, you know, that travel out to Nevada and there's a big giant battle of good versus evil and things like that. That's a given. But another one that I kind of found a little bit off the beaten path, but I've read this book a couple of times, Stephen King's Insomnia. That one is about a man who suffers insomnia, and he all of a sudden starts to see things like that are invisible or not there to other people, like color manifestations or auras and things like that. But he also starts to witness these tiny white coat beings that he calls little bald doctors. And he also becomes perceptive of like other planes of reality, and how these other planes of reality affect the real world. Mm. It's a really, really, really interesting book.
Awesome.
Cutting the life cords and things like that. These little bald doctors represent like purpose. You know, there's good guys. There's a lot of things that kind of pop out that remind me of the Lost story. Somebody wants to crash a little plane that's filled with C4 into the civic center. Just a whole bunch of little things like that. So I would put that one in that realm as left.
Okay, but there is one that I would like us to mention because we are following a lot of Stephen King. I'm going to have Damon Lindelof on the Easter eggs of my Blu-ray disc intro, and let's see if people remember what book this is from. So, all right, Damon, take it away.
Reincarnation. That is the hint. I think that's in play because, you know, we see Christian Shepherd as he's hanging out in the cabin. And he has a conversation with Locke and, you know, he seems to be physically there. But Christian Shepherd died, you know, in Australia. So what does this mean for the person in the coffin? And does it mean they're really dead? Is there a potential for them to be brought back to life? And if so, what would that person be like? Would it be like Pet Sematary, where sometimes dead is better? Ever see Pet Sematary? And the guy goes, sometimes dead is better. In that main accent, he's right. That guy. Sometimes dead is better.
Okay, so what is that? What book is that, Karen? What book are...
That's Judd and Telly Lewis. That's from Pet Sematary.
Such a good book. I read this, I think, when I was 13.
I can't even tell you how many times over and over and over. That's a great.
You know, sometimes dead is better. Is that true? Are we talking about reincarnation, by the way? Like, on the island? What is he talking about? What the fuck is this? What?
Well, it's the thing. Pet Sematary is not about reincarnation. No. It's about reanimation.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not reincarnated, they're reanimated.
Yeah, so if you look at Pet Sematary, how much is... It's not... Yeah, exactly. Let's look at Stuart Gordon's Reanimator. It's playing God sometimes and bringing things...
And does that make it better?
You know, it's really creepy, and I want to know what the hell he's talking about. Will we see it this season? Will we even see it at all? Of course. You know, as politicians as they are, you know.
I know.
There's a book that deserved to be a film, and I guess, oh God, even with what happened in the past few days of the Hudson River, there's a book about a plane crash, and this book needed to be a film, needed to be a film, and I always heard that somebody had interest in making it, but then something happened on September 11th of 2001, and never got made. And the book was called Survivor by Chuck Palahniuk.
Yes.
And something about this book always, always, always brings me back to Lost. And that is just besides this plane crash of this Tender Branson bringing, that's the name of the character, Tender Branson's bringing this plane to a crashing halt. He's taken this plane hostage. The book goes from, I don't remember how many pages exactly it is. It could be 359 to 259, but it's something like that. Your first page is page 259, and it goes to 1. Like, it counts down. As you're reading it, it's counting down in the flashbacks. This is a book, if nobody's read this one, we're very familiar with Fight Club, I'm sure people are, and it was the only film until up to last year, Sundance 2008, which I gotta get into also. Choke, his other book, finally became a film. This is a man whose every book needs to be a film. Also, Walt, if you're a fan of Walt and you are you're in Park City, Utah, and you're there for Sundance, don't forget Slam Dance. There's a film called Mississippi Damage, I think it's called. Mississippi Drain or something like that. But Malcolm David Kelly is it David Malcolm Kelly? No.
His name is Walt, and that's all there is to it.
He's in a film at Slam Dance, so enjoy, everybody. Oh, that poor kid hates me, because he's going to be like, hey, you don't remember my name. Be like, I love you, kid. Look, all right, you needed to be on the show longer for me. And just too many people have the three names in their names, and it's like, oh, I love you, kid.
Malcolm.
Look, Malcolm, go see Mississippi everything. At Slam Dance this weekend in Park City, Utah. There's a book you mentioned a few podcasts ago. Lost Horizon.
Lost Horizon is book
big.
Should just be like, I guess, on everybody's bookshelf on the island.
Right.
Only because, you know, that book, you know, deals with an island that is ancient and people don't age on this island. And, you know, there's a lot of thing about languages and linguistics and things like that. It's a lot of key things that are touched on our island, actually. So that's a really, really good story. It's not a long book, but that's something that I would like to see on a bookshelf.
Maybe something that we should see on our bookshelf, too, sometime soon. Because we did, I think we really hit something with A Christmas Carol. I think that was a perfect book to read. I thought that was a fantastic book, and I loved it. I loved it a lot, and it was really interesting. You know, I think books that are not even on the shelf that really should be on their shelves, we shouldn't steer away from. I think we could in the future maybe do Lost Horizon. I think it's a great idea. Here's a book that they promise to us as fans that we there's no connection. Cindy Chandler's in it. I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. Bad Twin. Should we read that? Like, should people be reading that? Is that something that, you know, just because it's not on the shelves?
The funny thing is, you know, we know that the transcript was on that infamous Flight 815.
Right.
Ended up in the hands of a few of our losties that kind of, you know, read
that
it through
true.
And checked it out and things. And we also kind of know that there's that whole blurring of the reality of what the losties experience and stuff like that. So, you know, I kind of feel like some of the things, the playbook of what's going on the island already has been written out. And I'm wondering if Bad Twin is actually just one of the chapters of it. So there's a lot of nods to things in the book Bad Twin. And we know this. It just gives us stuff like smack right in your face. People's names are mentioned.
Yeah.
Corporations are mentioned, you know, lies, conspiracies, cover-ups, you know.
Here's a term you like to use.
It's so all about, like, that type of stuff that's going on in our story. So, but is it a literal tie? Well, Damon and Carlton swear that it's
here
not.
Here you go.
I call this fucking shenanigans.
Yeah, here's a term that you and Hurley like to use, and that is Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
like,
think we're going to get Scooby-Doo really big time.
Yeah, I think they, it's got to be in there. It's got to be in there. If you're writing a book about the show, you're going to use it. You're not going to be like, hey, this is for fans. No. Also, with Scooby-Doo, we talked about Scooby-Doo recently and the show, and I like that. But I'm going to have to cut you off there because we are going to do another podcast that is dealt with comic books, TV shows. This is something more we need to dive into, and we need to start doing more podcasts to get people more involved with this and stuff that they are familiar with. Are people familiar with the Adventure of Mor-El? Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Should you be? Hell yes. This book, oh my God. From the second I opened it was incredible. Here is a man. We mentioned Stephen King. Now, would you consider him to be the horror legend of not our time, but like the horror legend? Is he the king of horror?
He's the
master of horror, right? There are many out there that would beg to differ of this man and this man alone. That's H.P. Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to read anything really by him. And in my hand right here, as I move everything to grab it, here is pages upon pages I have of this man that I need to read. I need to read. And okay, tell me if any of this sounds familiar. The Outsider. That's a story by him. The Outsider.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think many people on the island can be considered that. The Shunned House.
Mm-hmm.
I think with hatches and stuff like that, even with New Weatherton. At the Mountains of Madness. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. You know, it's like, I think it's incredible. Like, A Shadow Out of Time. Well, that's this man, I mean, that's only in one book I'm looking at now, and this man has written so many pages, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of horror. Even Stephen King, quoted right here, classic horror tales. I mean, this guy, like, Stephen King flips out about this man. I think Neil Gaiman has a little quote on the back. I am so excited. And this is my goal. I told Karen, everybody, my goal for season finale, I will read this book and many others, many stories of H.P. Lovecraft, and come back and let you know what we're seeing. Because we heard Cloverfield was definitely going to be, oh my God. Do you know Cloverfield came out a year ago last week? Oh my God! We saw that for my birthday. We saw that for my birthday movie. That was my birthday movie last year. Was Cloverfield? I'm such a dork. But yeah, I mean, like that's it. I am going to have this book read, and I'm going to give you some insight. Trust me, I know you. I will call you and be like, "Holy shit!" But if I need to tell you people to read something, please do, because I want to give in. I think this is their hidden treasure. I think they're giving you Stephen King because, hello, I think Stephen King's writing the show. I hate to say it. I think in his contract he can't say he's writing on the show. But
you think he's sitting in that writer's
room,
huh?
He's right there. He's sitting right there with a cup of coffee, and he's like, all right, guys, yes, yes, no, maybe, yeah, you think about it. But I also think he's not writing it, but he's like, he's definitely a story editor. He's definitely there as a consultant, and I think he's doing a damn good job. So I think H.P. Lovecraft, since Dead and Buried, we need to see what else, because I think this would be a good idea. So we focus on Stephen King, even like the book Survivor. If nobody's read that book, please do. Survivor is one of, I think it is Chuck Palahniuk's best book, and I think you should read it. We need to look at Lost Horizon. What's up with Bad Twin? H.P. Lovecraft, is he there or not? Scooby-Doo? We'll get into it.
I'm excited that you want to tackle comic books and
holy shit!
And
look at
novels, because I am like since I can hold a book, I have read comic books.
I'm gonna welcome back a TV show that we just got into. Battlestar Galactica, welcome back. Jeff Loeb, how you did not touch that show, I don't know. But you did. You touched one of the best effing seasons. The best season of any TV show ever. Season 2 Lost. Jeff Loeb, I thank you. And Jeff Loeb, you've always, always, always been one of my ultimate heroes in writing. He has been my favorite comic book writer. Next to you, Brian K. Vaughan. I'm not leaving you out of this, Mr. Man.
I love BKV.
Yeah, so, you know, with his Razzle Dazzle, I'm not going to forget him. But even Marvel, his stuff that he's written for Marvel was like, what? Good job, man. I'm glad you put them into this new... Well, he really pushed the envelope with the Marvel, and I think it was great. But Jeff Loeb, man, you've done the best Batman. Some of the sweetest stuff. Daredevil, you know, that little thing you did for Daredevil, and then he did something with Spider-Man. Like, oh, forget it. So thank you to Jeff Loeb, and way to go with Heroes, and I'm sorry that didn't work out, that they decided to go another route with Heroes. And he did the best, I think, with Heroes. So comic books is very, very essential. I mean, look at Season 2. Season 2 was basically consulted by a comic book writer.
Okay, but the whole entire show started and we got an introduction to a comic book.
Right?
Okay, with Faster Friends, okay, Hurley's comic book, okay?
Right, going back to Wall.
Right in the beginning. It was Hurley's comic book. There's a lot of information in there. That gives us imagery to what's going on the island.
Yeah,
The same have that imagery of the comic book kind of playing out. That's where maybe Bad Twin has that same idea, where Bad Twin things are kind of playing out on the island too. But
right.
Comic books was the start of us seeing anything in written form right there helping tell a story.
That will come up in February. We definitely need to do the comic book one. So, narrator, again, thank you for today. And also, don't forget, we were kidding. Everybody, Park City, Utah, Malcolm David Kelly's film. It's called Mississippi Damned, and it's playing throughout the week at Slam Dance. If you're at Sundance, please let us know how it is. Drop us an email or anything, even, you know, post on the Facebook. Remember, Printing Press is on the Facebook. We're on the MySpace. We are, we're Twittering, we're everywhere, and now we have a website. Thank you, Karen, for the website.
It'll keep growing. We'll keep building upon it. And we just want you guys to have fun and maybe see a bigger picture to the story.
There's such a huge picture. So thank you, Damon Lindelof, for recommending Pet Sematary. I thought this was a great, since Invention of Morale was so short, 100 pages, I think this was perfect. Remember, people, Amazon.com, get your book now. So half hour mark, we did a fantastic job. Thank you, Karen, as always.
Thank you so much. I want to wish you a wonderful wonderful happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
My dear friend. And you know how much I just want all your wishes to come true.
You know what's funny? You know, no, thank you. Thank you. That my podcast comes out the day after my birthday. The one that we do next week for the Invention of Morale, that's Vanessa's birthday. That's the day after her birthday. So how crazy is that? So we both get a podcast for our birthday. So, but thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet. And yay, happy birthday me, 34. Oy vey. So,
wow.
But, all right. Love you. Thank you. All right,
thank
everybody.
You.
Namaste. We'll see you soon.
Namaste.